Okay, William. Hey, it's Daddy-O. Hi, William. And oh my goodness, I'm sorry I've forgotten to start any more stories for you for like weeks on end. And now, because you're getting close to the end of the year, it's almost Christmas. You only have 3 weeks more of school before Christmas vacation. Woo-hoo! I'm going to start telling you a new book because you need to have fun in December. So this is a new book, and this is called The Solar Hat. Oh, the solar hat. And this is going to start as the prologue because I have to do a little background and bring you up to speed because this is all about Ayatsuri Ningyo Robot, or you know him fondly as Squeaky Toy Robot, and his maker, Mr. Takumi Ningyoshi, or Mr. Ningyoshi-san, and his great opponent, Mr. Futeki Kusumono, or Kusumono-san. And Kusumono-san, as you remember, is the chief executive of the Nippon Neuro Robotics Technologies, and he's also the chairman of the Pacific Piezoelectric Partnership. But he wants to abduct the little Ayatsuri Ningyo robot. He wants to steal Squeaky Toy so he can reverse engineer the robot for his own gain. So that's the story, and I'm going to give you some background. If you remember way back when Squeaky Toy Robot started, Squeaky Toy was a little robot that that Mr. Ningyoshi-san had entered into a contest to see who was the best robot, right? And he had entered the contest that Dr. Tall Tale was running, okay? And it was the International Society of Neurological Robots Competition of Robots. Remember? And Dr. Timothy Tall Tale was running that, and he gave the award, the number one prize for robots, to Mr. Ningyoshi-san. Because Mr. Ningyoshi-san developed the best robot ever, his Ayatsuri Ningyo robot, which it became Squeaky Toy. And then, because he saw in the crowd after he won his award that Kusumono-san was sitting there, Mr. Ningyoshi-san thought, he's not up to any good. I wonder, I need to protect my little robot. And so, in an act that he hadn't planned for, hadn't thought about, hadn't done anything, he gave Ayatsuri Ningyo robot to Dr. Talltale to take home. And Dr. Talltale took little Ayatsuri Ningyo robot home. Remember, the carton got banged, and little Ayatsuri Ningyo robot had a squeak in his knee. And then 3T, Dr. Talltale's son, called him, "Oh, you're calling me Squeaky Toy." And that's how Ayatsuri Ningyo robot got his name. But Mr. Ningyoshi-san knew that he was going to be at this competition. And at this big competition, he knew that people would be watching from all around the world. And indeed, he became the outstanding world-class neurological roboticist because that was his prize, because Squeaky Toy could do things that no other robot could do. But Mr. Ningyoshi-san built in a failsafe. Well, what's a failsafe, you say? A failsafe means that if anything happens to his robot was going to run out of juice, because Squeaky Toy was built with a wind-up mechanism in his tummy. Then you have to wind it up to get electricity back. And if you don't wind it up, then Squeaky Toy falls over, gone, off, goodbye, because he wasn't wound up. Well, Mr. Ningyoshi-san knew that that had happened. And he knew that little Ayatsuri Ningyo robot had gone out with just that wind-up. And he thought that Professor Timothy Talltale would figure this out, and he would use it. And he was also interested to see how the little robot had worked in America, because after all, hadn't proofed it at all. He just made it, put it together, and presented it. So he wanted to find out all about his little Ayatsuri Ningyo robot. But first, he wanted to make sure that the little robot energy supply was now consistent. So he spent the next, almost the next year, he worked hard at it. He sat down and he developed a solar hat. Oh, the solar hat. Now, this was very, very ingenious. It's because Squeaky Toy already had, or Ayatsuri Ningyo robot, if you're thinking for Mr. Ningyoshi-san, Squeaky Toy already had a battery pack. He couldn't add a new battery pack. He couldn't add any motors or anything else that would take to make add to that battery pack. There was no way he could put like a little electrical outlet so you could plug him in. He could wind him up or what? So Mr. Nagiyoshi-san thought and thought and thought, and he drew pictures. Oh, Mr. Nagiyoshi-san filled notebooks full of drawings and pictures of just how he could get electricity to Squeaky Toy. And he came upon a solar hat. So he built a little hat. Now, it looks like the kind of hat that all the old explorers would wear. It's called a bush hat. And you have to go back to look at old pictures, but you can see them old in Africa and in India. Or sometimes it's called a pith helmet. You can look that up too. Pith, P-I-T-H, pith helmet. Have your data help you? And he took that helmet and he coated it on the outside, coated it totally with little tiny solar receptors. These were the best he could ever buy. These were the best on the market. They were Chinese, of course, because Chinese had grabbed the solar market years and years and years before when the old America decided it wasn't going to work that way anymore. And they made the best solar chips. So he took small, tiny ones, almost like if you look at a butterfly wing, and you look at the butterfly wing and it's covered with little scales. Can't have your mama do that. Look at a close-up picture of a butterfly wing and you'll see it's all scales. And the scales overlap. And those scales glisten, and that's what gives butterflies color. But for Squeaky Toy's hat, all these little solar scales glistened, not a lot, but glistened a little, and they amplified the sunshine hitting the hat into electrical impulses. And then Squeaky Toy, now Mr. Nagiyoshi-san knew that Squeaky Toy had a specific type of metal in his head because he was made with very, very special metals. And there were two small little junction points where he designed his hat to sit on. And when Squeaky Toy put that hat on and he strode out into the sun, then his batteries would be charged. He'd be charged. Well, here's the nice thing about the solar hat. Because Squeaky Toy could wear the solar hat, his battery would be charged way more than you could ever charge him by winding him up, unless you wanted to sit there for all morning and wind. Come on, Squeaky Toy, wind. So Mr. Nagiyoshi was so proud of his hat. He put it on. He attached a multimeter to it. He saw the power draw. He saw the power drain. He saw how much battery juice it would provide. He knew how long it would take to recharge Squeaky Toy's battery. He knew everything. He was so excited. He was so happy. He was just so excited. He decided he'd fly to skedaddle and show Squeaky Toy's cap and put it on him and see how it worked. And besides, he could go see Dr. Timothy Talltale, and he could see his wonderful wife, Dr. Tara Tomorrow, Tool Talltale, and he could take a tour of Washington Gumption University, where actually he got a bachelor's degree from the College of Piezoelectronic Engineering, and it'd be a nice time to go to skedaddle. So he bought an airline ticket, and he left from Tokyo to skedaddle, and then he thought, oh, I better let Dr. Talltale know I'm coming, and he sent him an email. And Dr. Talltale said, oh my goodness, Mr. Nagiyoshi-san is coming here. And everybody cleared and clapped. And even Ayatsuri Ningyo Robot, who really missed his papa, or as you would call him, Mr. Nagiyoshi-san. Well, that's only the start of it. Now we have to go to the other side. We have to talk to you about Mr. Futeki Kusumono, or Kusumono-san. Now Kusumono-san is an interesting character, let's put it that way. He is the chief executive officer of Nippon Neuro Robotics Technologies, or as we call it, N squared RT. And this is a very, very big company, and they put robots out to the whole world, all these sorts of robots. Now, here's the difference. When Mr. Nagiyoshi-san built the Ayatsuri robot, he built a beautiful little robot that could actually think for itself. And he built it so that it would be able to take commands and be able to make up decisions on its own and be able to act and work just as if it were a little human, even though it's only 3 feet tall, about the size of Lauren. That's all he is, just a yard or a meter, but he's a scampy little thing. And Mr. Nagiyoshi-san put in the three laws of robotics from the great Dr. Isaac Asimov. And those three laws are, I'm going to remind you now, a robot may not hinder a human being or through an action allow a human being to come to harm. That means that robots can't harm humans. Of course, we found that Squeaky Toy has a hard time deciding what's a human and what's not a human. And so sometimes squirrels and bears and other little beings become humans to him. And even trolls are humans because he can't tell the difference. They're not metal. They must be human. Second law is a robot must obey orders given to it by human beings, except where such an order would require the robot to injure a human being. So that means if somebody tells the robot, hey, clean my room, all the toys and everything, Squeaky Toy will do it. Now, if he says, hey, I want you to clean my room and then take that hammer and bop my sister on the head, Squeaky Toy wouldn't do that. I'm sorry, I can't do that because it would hurt your sister. That's a lesson to you, William. It would hurt your sister, and you have to take care of your sister. She's a beautiful little girl. So Squeaky Toy wouldn't do that because it would conflict. And then the third law is the robot must protect its own existence as long as such a protection does not conflict with the first or second law. So if you told a robot, robot, I want you to climb to the top of the building and I want you to jump off, okay? Well, if the robot were to jump off, right, and it were to land on a human, then the robot couldn't do that because it would harm a human. But if it didn't conflict with the fact that he had to obey orders, and it didn't conflict with injuring a human being, he'd have to do it, which is a terrible thing. But at any rate, Mr. Ningyoshi-san built little Ayatsura Ningyo robot to be a little thoughtful robot. Well, this is where I come to. Mr. Kusumano-san at the Nippon Neuro Robotic Technologies, or N2RT, didn't build robots that way. He built robots to do single functions, simple things, one thing at a time. And none of his robots had the three laws of robotics built in. So if it were a robot whose job was to pound nails, and boom, boom, it pounded nails, and you stuck your hand under it, it would pound a nail through your hand, because it didn't know, it was just doing its thing. So Mr. Kusumono-san was doing robots, a very different type of robot. And they were all around the world because lots of places wanted a robot. Sometimes it's nice to have a robot just to pound things in, and you don't have to do it as a human. Pound, pound, pound. Now, this what's very interesting, and I'm just giving you an aside here, is this is very similar to the outlook in Janakapalala with Igglypuff, because Janakapalala runs on little robots, and those little robots do singular tasks. They're not designed to do multiple tasks like Ayatsuri Ningyo robot, Squeaky Toy. They're designed to do the same thing over and over again. Run the engine, run the motor, turn on the lights. But the difference is, all of these little robots are smart and they'll talk to you and they'll ask questions. Whereas Kusumono-san's robots don't ask questions. They do what they're told because they can't do anything else. Well, Mr. Kusumono-san has some ideas. And one of those ideas is to capture Squeaky Toy and to open him up, see how he works, see what he does, and then figure out how to use Mr. Ningyoshi-san's work to help him make even more money. Now, Kusumono-san is a very interesting character here. We'll just go sideways a bit. First of all, he is a very gruff and big guy. And even though he was born in Japan, he lives in Los Angeles now, way down in Calizona. And he has his company headquarters, N2RT in Los Angeles, even though he sells robots around the world. And he's all hearty and happy. If you're another CEO, if you're a billionaire, he'll slap you on the back. He'll give you a cigar. He'll tell you jokes. He'll go out golfing with you. He'll take you out on his boat. He'll do wonderful things. Oh, he's so everybody loves him. He thinks he's great. But inside, he's not so wonderful. He's kind of mean. For example, he has kids. He has a pair of twins, a little girl. He's got his twins. He loves his twins. But you know what they have to do every weekend? They have to clean the bathrooms. And of course, in his house, he's got 18 bathrooms because he's got a big house. So those kids have to clean those bathrooms. And not only do they have to clean the bathrooms, they have to shine up the bathroom so that it's shiny and looks really brand new, like you just put it in. That means polishing the toilet bowls, if you know what I mean. They have to polish and scrub and get it all done. That's what they do on the weekend before they get to go out and play with their friends, before they get to do anything, before they watch TV. Now, what does Mr. Kusumono-san give his kids for Christmas? You know what kind of presents he gives them for Christmas? He gives them coupons that they can trade in so they don't have to clean the bathroom that weekend. Are you kidding me? Do they get big bikes? Do they get wonderful things like your mom and daddy give you? They get coupons so they don't have to clean the bathroom. Well, that's kind of stingy if you ask me. Hey, there's another one. One year, his wife had a birthday. And you know what he did? He went out and he bought himself a brand new suit and a brand new pair of shoes and a brand new tie, and he got himself a haircut, and then he presented himself to his wife and said, I'm giving you the pleasure of looking at me. Oh my goodness, Kusumono-san, what are you thinking? His wife was not amused. So I just want to tell you, Kusumono-san might seem really buoyant and upfront and happy, but inside he's kind of shriveled and mean. And he wants what he wants. And he gets what he wants. And what he wants now is Ayatsuri Ningyo Robot. So Kusumono-san has spies everywhere. Everywhere he has spies. And I have to tell you, he knows exactly what Mr. Nagyoshi-san's doing, and he's been trying to find where the heck Squeaky Toy went to, but he can't track him down. Because, of course, Mr. Tall Dog, Professor Timothy Tyler Talltale, lives in Carnatoon outside of Skedaddle. So, you know, unless you know where Carnatoon is, it's a quiet little town. It's not in Skedaddle. It takes him a while to drive in, but it's worth it. So he's been trying to track down Squeaky Toy Robot. And then, when Mr. Nagyoshi-san made his airline ticket, well, his computer was tapped. Anyway, he'd been hacked long ago. Mr. Nagyoshi-san knew he was hacked. He decided, I don't care. I'm doing what I'm doing. But yes, his computer was hacked. And yes, Mr. Kusumono-san heard about the ticket just as it was being made. He said, oh, Ningyoshi's going to Skedaddle. What's Ningyoshi doing in Skedaddle? Well, Kusumono-san knew Skedaddle because Kusumono-san had gone to the Washima Gumption College of Piezoelectronic Engineering just at the same time that Mr. Ningyoshi-san had gone. Can you imagine it? The two were in school at the same time. They knew each other. Did they like each other? No. But they were both at the College of Piezoelectronic Engineering when it was run by their director, Dr. Kieran O'Sillywine. And so they knew each other. They knew all about the college. And they sort of knew Dr. Timothy Tyler Talltale because Dr. Timothy Tyler Talltale had been a young assistant professor when they were in just starting out. And he was his first assistant professor. He just got getting all his publishing going so he could get tenure. And he was an up-and-coming robotics expert at Washington Gumption University. That's where he met Dr. Tara O'Toole Talltale, who actually was a PhD candidate under Dr. O'Sillywine, Dr. Kieran O'Sillywine. So they all sort of knew each other. Of course, that was after Dr. Tara O'Toole Talltale had gotten her master's degree, her MD, her JD, lawyer's degree, and then she got a PhD in interneuron communication. But that's another story. We'll have to tell you that later. So Kusumono-san knew Skedaddle, and he knew he was heading to Skedaddle, and he knew that Dr. Talltale lived around Skedaddle, and he thought, oh, he's going to do something with that robot. I can't let him get to that robot. I have to get that robot first. So he came up with a plan. He decided he'd kidnap Ayatsuri Ningyo Robot. That's right. Kidnap Squeaky Toy right off the street. And bring him to his headquarters in Los Angeles of N squared RT. And then he'd have his engineers little by little take apart that little robot to see how he worked. Oh, this was going to be fun. So he got on the phone and he called his manager, his district manager in Cascadia Autonomous Region in Skedaddle. And that was that was Hayoshi Kamakura. And Mr. Kamakura-san was his big manager, and he was a sales manager for all the big high-tech companies in Skedaddle and all the way down into Calizona. And he called him up and he said, Kamakura-san, Hayoshi Kamakura-san, please. And Kusumono said, Kamakura-san, I have a job for you. And of course, Kamakura-san is going to say, of course, what do you want? What do you want, Kusumono-san? And he said, I want you to kidnap a robot. And Hiroyoshi said, what? What? A robot? But you have robots. I have plenty of robots. I have boxes of robots here. I have so many robots, the trolls are stealing robots. What do you mean, another robot? And Kusumono said, no. I have a particular robot. I have one in particular I have in mind, and he's living with Dr. Timothy Tyler Talltale, and I want you to find him and I want you to steal him, and I want you to deliver him here to my offices in Los Angeles." "Oh," Kamakura-san said, oh, is that legal?" And Kusumono said, "What do you care if it's legal? I want that robot." Well, Kamakura-san was a little afraid because he didn't want to lose his job, and it was a pretty good job, and he got pretty good money, and he was living out in Redsoft, and that was a good place to live. Okay, I'll do it. How do I do it?" And Kusumono said, "You're a manager in one of my regional headquarters. You figure out how to do it. You figure out where the robot is. I'll tell you who he lives with, though. He lives with Dr. Timothy Tyler Talltale, and I want you to find him." Kamamura said, "Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that, boss, and I'll get him to you." And Kusumono-san said, "Good, and do it before this date." And that was the date when Mr. Nigiyoshi-san was supposed to land. He was going to steal Agatsuri Ninja Robot even before Mr. Nigiyoshi-san could get to him and put his solar hat on. Oh no, what's going to happen? Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen, William, but that's going to be in Chapter 1. Kidnapping Squeaky Toy. And that's going to come later, because right now it's time for you to go to bed. It's time for you to hug your sister, Lauren. It's time for you to hug your mom and Dada. Oh, they're so happy, happy, happy. And it's time for you to have a good sleep and get a green tomorrow at school. And then I will tell you Chapter 1, The Kidnap of Squeaky Toy Robot. And I hope you like it, and I hope it's fun. And I want to tell you I love you, and I'll talk to you again. Good night.